This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck. We are switching up the format a little bit on this weekend show and next weekend show for both hours. We're going to be focusing exclusively on markets and investing. In the first hour, I am focusing on a more broad look at the markets and money flows. Quite frankly, what sectors are outperforming and really what we should be focusing on in the second hour, diving a bit more into the precious metals sector and dealing with some more of the exploration in junior companies. I want to hear all of your feedback, please. This kind of renewed focus of our show and our website. I know we still have a large following that likes to comment and talk about politics. That is why I'm still posting on our website a dedicated political posting every morning so that you all can share your opinions back and forth, but we are refocusing the show and the site more towards investing and markets. That is what supports this show, and quite frankly, that seems to be what a lot of you tune in to learn about. Some of the political back and forth does scare some new investors away from the show. I'm really just trying to reach out to as many investors, as many of you who are trying to learn about managing your money in the best way possible. So please, again, everybody, let me know what you think. I want to know how you all feel about this new direction that we are going in. That being said, let's start off this show. I am kicking off the show with Jesse Felder. He is the founder and editor of the Felder Report and one of my favorite guests to feature on the weekend show for broad market comments especially. And Jesse, let's start off with the U.S. dollar. You recently posted an article to your subscribers that outlined that you're still watching the dollar closely. You made a comment at the very beginning of the year that 2020 will be the year to watch the greenback. You thought that there could be a decline in the dollar, which could possibly mark the end of the massive bull market in financial assets. Now, there are two different concepts here. Let's start off with the dollar, its continued volatility, and it's trading in this generally lower range, but you look at a much longer term 20-year chart, dollar is kind of in the middle of this very wide range that it's been in. What are the key factors that you are watching when it comes to the dollar?
So, yeah, I wrote at the very beginning of the year that it's 2020 will be the year to watch the dollar, and it's been an exciting year to watch it. We had the big spike in the dollar, you know, back in the spring as a part of the pandemic and a flight to quality, or a flight, you know, the fear trade. People panicked into dollars, and then we've had the big dollar sell-off as a result of, you know, the Fed printing $3 trillion in a very short period of time. I've said, you know, it's important to watch the dollar because I do think the main narrative that's driving the bull market in both stocks and bonds is so long as the Fed is printing money, you know, interest rates can't go up, but the bond market will be supported, and, you know, the stock market will also be supported as well through that money printing. So, but at some point that money printing is going to create a bear market in the dollar. And then the Fed will be forced to choose in either supporting the financial markets or supporting the currency. They can't do both. So I do think that the decline in the dollar is probably a resumption of the bear market in the dollar that started a couple of years ago. But I think in the short run, people have gotten too bearish dollars. The positioning has just gotten way too crowded, too many dollar shorts and euro longs. And that probably needs to be unwound. And so, you know, I look at a variety of things in terms of fundamentals. You know, inflation is probably one of the important short-term drivers. You know, rising inflation is dollar bearish, falling inflation is dollar bullish. We've seen a pickup in inflation as a result of the fiscal stimulus, but that was just kind of a short-term sugar rush. And the weak economy is probably very disinflationary, which is probably, since we're not going to, it looks like we're probably not going to get another fiscal package. I do think that's disinflationary and dollar bullish in the short run. And so, you know, that's just one factor. But I think it's really close, you know, careful to pay attention to the dollar right now because there's been a very close inverse correlation or negative correlation between the stock market and the dollar. So the dollar weakness since the spring has been almost perfectly correlated to stock market strength. And so a dollar rally would potentially mean a continuation of kind of this correction that we've seen in the stock market since, you know, September.
Now, when talking about the dollar, we also have to look at other countries, especially Europe, because of how weighted that dollar index is towards the euro. And one thing that I just don't still quite understand is the dollar weakness in the face of this euro strength because of the fact that, hey, Europe continues to shut down. We even heard from the Bank of England about increasing their bond buying program. I realize the Fed is still kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting for even the ability to print more money from the U.S. government. But shouldn't this continued weakness in Europe and the continued push on the accelerator of easy money policies from European central banks, shouldn't that be driving the dollar higher?
Potentially in the short run. I think that the main driver of the dollar in terms of those policies is going to be the adoption, continued adoption of modern monetary theory here in the United States. When you have both parties, essentially there's a bipartisan consensus in Washington, now growing bipartisan consensus, that we don't need to worry about the growing debt because we can always print the money to pay back those obligations. Now, that's something that is much more difficult for European nations to do. With a European central bank, you know, each country doesn't have its own central bank really, you know, any longer that's in charge of its currency. So they don't really have the ability, you know, the direct ability like the United States to say, we are going to literally just print money to pay our obligations. And because we know we can do that, we can take on far more debt than we otherwise thought we were able to. So I do think that's probably dollar bearish over the long run. But like I said, in the short run here, this MMT has been essentially put on hold because we can't get it together to put together another fiscal package. So that inability to put together a fiscal package and the fact that the Fed has essentially not grown its balance sheet for months is short-term dollar bullish. I think that's why we've seen this, at least a halt in the dollar decline over the last couple of months, and possibly why we could see a dollar rally going forward over the short run is that MMT narrative has essentially been put on hold.
Okay. But again, it's just on hold. It's not going away anywhere. It will come back into the U.S. It's just the stall in the government is really handcuffing the Fed. Now, you mentioned the relationship between the dollar and the U.S. equity markets, that inverse correlation. What about the relationship between the dollar and some other so-called kind of currency assets like gold or even like Bitcoin? Both are doing well. Bitcoin is breaking out to a more extreme degree than gold, but gold is still up for the year substantially.
Yeah, and to me, one thing that has been worrisome to me about, you know, I'm a long-term gold bull, and, you know, I've been talking with you about this for at least a couple of years now. Short-term, I'm more concerned, you know, gold peaked around the same time, you know, maybe about a month before the NASDAQ did. Gold peaked in, what was it, late July, early August. The NASDAQ peaked in late August, early September, and they've had a very positive correlation. So it's the stock market has been negatively correlated to the dollar, and that goes along with this mindset of as long as the Fed is printing money and devaluing the currency, it should be good for assets like stocks and gold.
All right, Jesse, unfortunately we're out of time for this first segment. I'm having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Jesse, let's focus a bit on another topic all related to the markets, and that deals with money flow. Something else you've been writing about, something you and I were talking about off mic before recording, deals with money flows first and foremost into volatility. The VIX has remained relatively high during all of this, shows that investors are still taking protection. Give us a little recap on what you've seen in terms of money flows and volatility.
Well, you know, it's, I think Christopher Cole put it best. He tweeted earlier today, and actually has been for a few weeks now at least. I mean, he's been writing about this for years, that the stock market is really just a derivative now of the options market. It's the tail wagging the dog. And so what he means by that is simply, you know, something that we've talked about before, Corey, which is we've seen the volume in the options market just explode this year to something to bigger. It's been bigger than anything we've ever seen before in history. It's a clear speculative mania, as Stan Druckenmiller's put it. But there are consequences with that, where you have the options markets essentially moving the stock market. So we've talked about when we see massive call buying in individual stocks, right? The market makers are in the end of these short calls. They have to go buy the underlying stock, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that pushes prices higher. We've seen kind of something similar with this, where we saw volatility remained, was really, really high. There's a lot of uncertainty around the presidential election, and there still is to some degree. But the volatility indexes, like the VIX, were across many months, were very, very high. And it was a very strangely skewed option, volatility picture heading into this election. And so what we saw heading into this was a lot of short selling, volatility heading into, you know, in the futures markets, which is, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy there. So you sell short volatility, and that forces market makers to be long volatility. What do? To hedge their long volatility, they go buy S&P futures. That's part of it. The other side of it, we saw huge put buying in the VIX. And so when you see this put buying in the VIX, market makers end up being short VIX puts. So when the VIX starts going down, they have to start going and essentially shorting VIX even more than it already is to hedge their position. So this is very complicated kind of derivatives of derivatives of derivatives. But essentially, with the way people have been trading this and been positioned for this, it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy that we'd see a massive rally in the market this week. And it's really just structural. I don't think people have been trying to interpret what people see in the markets and what it means for X, Y, and Z. It's really the same thing we've been seeing since late 2017, early 2018, which is these tails, you know, wagging the dog, whether it's short volatility or huge trades in the options markets that end up exacerbating moves in one direction or the other. I think those are the factors that are most important in the action we're seeing in the markets right now.
So then the strength in the markets, it's not what I've been saying in terms of money on the sidelines waiting for some clarity in the election. You think this is all structural. How much longer does this have to go on for?
Well, you know, when we've seen these kinds of unwinds, I mean, we saw it, I think I've been saying for quite some time now, we've seen it since the 2018 Volmageddon, which is we saw a lot of those short volatility trades just implode in February 2018 when the XIV blew up overnight. And so these trades lead to some short-term dynamics in both directions. In the short run, they become a self-fulfilling prophecy and pushing markets higher, but then they eventually implode. And so I do think we could see the implosion of these trades sometime over the next few weeks or months. It's really hard to say, but you watch things like Gamma and things. I think The Dark Index is another one. Josh, there's a website that tracks this stuff. Squeezemetrics.com is one that's very interesting to pay close attention to, because it helps give you a visual representation of how dealers are positioned in the options markets. And so I think if we do see gamma, you know, getting up pretty high again, that's what we saw right at the high, was it just a few weeks ago, the early October high before stocks rolled over. We saw, you know, gamma levels getting very elevated. I think we'll probably see that again, and these trades will be unwound over a period of time again. And really, to me, this is just part of a very important topping process for the stock market that began really in June, July, and has been playing out since that time.
So, Jesse, what does this mean for the broad markets and the broad rotation theme that we were seeing into this election, at the back end of this election or post-election, at least post-voting day? We saw more money flow into the NASDAQ. That so-called COVID trade was back on. How do you balance out where money is flowing when it comes to sectors, or the balance between the lagging sectors and the outperforming sectors?
Well, one of the things that I've watched most closely for my entire career is insider activity. I'm talking about the top executives at public companies. And what we've seen over the last 6 months really is an unprecedented level of insider selling. We've seen selling, and it's really heavily concentrated in these tech names. Just this week, I think the last couple of days, Jeff Bezos sold another couple billion dollars worth of stock, but he's not alone. We're seeing it in across the tech sector. And, you know, we at the same time, I've seen, you know, we talked about this last time I was on, massive insider buying in the energy sector. And since we last spoke, I've seen, you know, some concentrated buying in the financial sector, namely in the banks. I'm talking about the mostly regional banks. The insider buying is you see more in small cap companies than you do in larger cap companies. And that's also probably another important theme, is that I think probably over the next insiders, the smart money is essentially betting on small cap over large cap, and value over growth, old economy over new economy types of trades over the next 6 to 12 months. Typically there's a 12-month horizon on a lot of this insider activity. So I do think 12 months from now we will see a lot of these financials and energy potentially dramatically outperform tech and small cap better than large cap.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Jesse, let's wrap it up there. Pleasure spending the first two segments of this show with you. It's always interesting to hear what nuances you are watching for in the markets and trying to make sense of what has been a crazy year and looks like will continue to be a volatile and crazy year through, well, the next 2 months and into next year. Jesse, thanks again for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Always good to talk with you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy, because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
You
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Still no winner, but it appears that we are getting close to one. Former Vice President Joe Biden yesterday narrowed the lead President Trump had in Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. He says they're going to win this race.
We're on track to over 300 electoral votes, electoral college votes. And look at the national numbers. We're going to win this race with a clear majority of the nation behind us. We've gotten over 74 million votes. Let me repeat that. 74 million votes.
It will still be a while before a winner is declared, as some states are expecting a recount. That's likely the case in Georgia, according to their Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger.
Given the strong probability of a recount, we will not be able to ascertain it. Now, we're going to go through our legal processes, which means we have to certify.
This is USA Radio News. The U.S. reported more than 128,000 new COVID-19 infections Friday. That's a third consecutive single-day record. The pandemic showing no signs of slowing down, particularly in the Midwest, Florida, and Texas. Illinois set a record with 11,790 confirmed or probable coronavirus cases. Jaylene Girardin, an epidemiologist at Northwestern University in Chicago, told the Washington Post that its community spread everywhere. She adds that the greater numbers are due in part to increased availability of testing. A Michigan couple whose large family attracted attention by growing to include 14 sons has welcomed their first daughter nearly three decades after the birth of their first child. Kateri Schwent gave birth Thursday to Maggie Jane and entered a world filled with 14 older brothers. Jay Schwent said he and his wife, both 45, are overjoyed and beyond excited to add Maggie Jane to the family. The Schwents have been featured for years in local and national news as their family has grown. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are going to continue chatting kind of broad markets here, taking a look at a couple individual sectors, but trying to get a handle on what is going to work for investors moving forward now that we kind of have the election behind us, but we still have very much COVID around. I am chatting with Mike Larson. He writes the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. Now, Mike, moving forward, I know this is still a contested election, or at least the vote counts are being contested, but it kind of looks like we're going to have Biden as the president and a split Congress. Seems like a lot more fighting that's going to happen in politics in the U.S., which will handcuff the Democrats for getting any, let's say, aggressive policies through. What does that mean for your strategy when it comes to viewing the financial markets?
Yeah, I mean, with an election like this, you never know what headlines you're going to wake up to in the morning or so, given some of the legal challenges that the Trump campaign is trying to put out there. But if you read the tea leaves and you look at, you know, more importantly, what the betting markets and what Wall Street are basically arriving at in terms of conclusions, it's that Biden is the likely winner. I mean, they've declared him president-elect in a few places and so on. It looks like he's probably going to win, despite what Trump does try and fight that. But at the same time, we never had that, you know, the Democrats didn't get the other thing they wanted, which was that fabled blue wave, taking over of the Senate in terms of Democratic control, winning enough Senate seats to take over the Senate while maintaining control in the House. Unfortunately for the Democrats, the House majority was maintained, but it does not look like we're going to get the Senate majority they were looking for. So what that does, to some degree, ironically enough, at least from a financial Wall Street, financial market perspective, and from a policy perspective in terms of the Fed, is more of the same. We're in a situation where heading into the election, the Fed was kind of the only game in town. You know, you get all these misleading headlines from one side or the other saying, oh, we're right on the cusp of a big fiscal stimulus bill. It never happened. You know, that was for months and months. We had the initial round of stimulus, the unemployment boosted benefits as well as the stimulus checks. But that all ran out in the spring, and nothing has really happened since then. That was heading into the election. Now coming out of it, you know, you're not going to see, I think, everybody just shake hands, sing kumbaya, and come up with a $2.5 or even $3 trillion stimulus like some of the Democrats were looking for. The Republicans aren't going to play along with that in Congress, in my opinion. So what you're likely to continue to see is a skinny, delayed stimulus, some targeted help here and there, but nothing that on the order of what we saw in the spring that really moves the needle for the economy, broadly speaking, or the market. And what we'll see is the Fed try and continue compensating by just printing more money and buying more assets. You know, Jay Powell himself at this week's Fed meeting said that one of the key points of discussion at this meeting was what should they do with QE? How could they get it bigger? How could they diversify it? Could they buy different parts of the treasury market or different parts of the asset markets and so on? They're not spending this time here sitting around the table discussing this stuff just for their health. They're doing it because Wall Street's demanding more funny money, and they're likely to deliver. And I think that, and again, that's especially true if they're not getting the help that they want from Congress or even the Biden administration. While they want to do more Main Street stuff, and they want to do more things targeted at the middle class, it's not going to be able to get that, or won't have that congressional majority to ram that through. So long story short, the election changes a lot of things from a political perspective. It's going to change some of the you know, other things going on, especially in geopolitics and world relations and so on. But from a pure markets, pure economic standpoint, it really doesn't move the needle much. So I think that, you know, a lot of the same strategies that were working best heading into the election are going to work best heading out of the election and into 2021.
So just more of the same then. But when you're balancing out, okay, some news that'll come out of the election, it sounds like through the rest of this year, balance that out with the COVID cases continuing to rise, lockdowns happening in Europe, potential lockdowns coming to North America, and also the Fed. We heard from them this week. It was a boring statement, but they're ready to inject more money into the system. What out of these are the major drivers that investors need to be aware of moving forward?
Sure. From a real economy perspective, a second wave or even third wave, depending on how you count it, of COVID cases that results in more restrictions, more lockdowns. You know, we're certainly not going to get the full economy lockdown like we had back in the spring, but you're going to see targeted things being done in different states and likely, you know, in most of the country if the numbers continue the direction they're going here in the U.S. And obviously, as you mentioned, we're seeing more restrictions out of Europe, too. So from a real economy perspective, that's obvious negative. It's going to be bad for those sectors that rely on stronger growth, stronger spending, and so on to prosper. I mean, the same kinds of things that you've seen where, you know, travel stocks, for example, and you know, banks and things like that really need a stronger GDP and more broad participation, they're going to continue to suffer. At the same time, the work-at-home type names, the long-duration type sectors like tech, and many of the safe money sectors, as I call them, things that have higher yields, more defensive business models, and resilient earnings, even in a tough economic environment, they're going to continue to do very well. Things like utilities, consumer staples, you know, some select real estate names. And ironically enough, a small subsector that should do very well coming out of this is the cannabis space. You know, one of my colleagues wrote that, you know, it wasn't the Democrats or Republicans that won. It was cannabis because we have much more legalization, broader legalization in the U.S., and that trend certainly isn't going away on these ballot issues. So there are I guess the overall message is that there's different spots, there's different battles, places, you know, sectors and stocks and so on that you can focus on, battles you can fight and make a decent chunk of money coming out of the election. But this is still going to be sort of a bifurcated split market where you're going to have these losing sectors like financials. You're going to have energy, which certainly in terms of traditional oil and gas has no friends in the Biden administration that are going to continue to stagnate. So you really got to be smart about what you own and what you avoid.
Now, Mike, what about economic data? Because even on Friday, we had a non-farms payroll report that was better than expected. You dive into that report and you see that a lot of jobs were added at kind of the services level in terms of restaurants and bars. Those are obviously shaky jobs if we go back into lockdown. Does economic data even matter right now?
You know, I think that, again, people can look at some of this backwards-leaning data and say, sure, it was pretty decent, but yes, we're going to have more COVID-related fear, cutback in spending, especially as we head into these rising caseloads, into the colder weather. So I think people are definitely discounting that to some degree. But at the same time, for Wall Street, for the one percenters, for the asset owners, they like nothing more than more Fed aid, more Fed bailing out and backstopping of markets, more money printing. It sounds callous, but it's realistic. Wall Street doesn't care about Main Street to some degree. Why do you think you have these outstanding market gains in some of these stocks that are doubling and tripling, even as, you know, thousands of restaurants are closing, unemployment is still at very elevated levels, and so on? It's because big business is gaining ground. Big corporations are getting help from the Fed. Wall Street's certainly getting help from the Fed. It's an odd, unfortunate policy mix. But as I always say, my best advice for investors is you have to invest for the markets, economy, and politics you have, not the ones you might want. So that means taking a realistic, bias-free approach to this market and pick your spots. Buy the things that are going to do well, in this environment and into 2021, and avoid the stuff that's not, regardless of your personal feelings about it.
Okay, we will get into some more individual sectors, but I do want to ask you about the U.S. dollar, because as we're recording this about halfway through the day on Friday, the dollar is continuing to fall, almost crash, you could make the argument, sitting at 92.22 right now. What's important about this falling dollar in your eyes?
Sure, you're absolutely right. The dollar is kind of clinging by its fingernails here in terms of value, and it's a pretty broad decline against a multitude of currencies. Frankly, it goes back to the Fed, right? If you have a fiscal policy that's not going to be strong, you're not going to get gangbuster GDP growth. You're going to continue to have slow growth with the Fed buying anything and everything that's not nailed down. We've seen in the past that is generally speaking, negative for the U.S. dollar, but positive for things like gold, silver, and mining shares. I think it's no surprise that, kind of coming out of this election, we've seen a nice rebound in gold. We've seen a nice rebound in silver and mining shares.
All right, Mike, we're going to wrap it up there. Really appreciate your comments, as always. It was an entertaining week in the sense that we were going to chat on Wednesday, and we kept pushing it back for a bit more clarity, and we kind of have clarity, but it seems like this is going to be just another added topic through the rest of this year. And boy, oh boy, there's a lot on everyone's radar, rightfully so. Mike, thanks for your time this weekend, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I visit every day just to keep up to date on any key data points and some of the nuances within different sectors and markets. We're going to focus a lot on currencies to wrap up this first hour because the U.S. dollar had a very tough week again this week, and quite frankly, where it closes, we're not quite at the close yet, but if it closes in this lower 92 level on the dollar index, that's going to be the lowest weekly close since back in 2018. We're still viewing that 91.75 level as pretty important, as that was the intra-week low at the very tail end of August. Mark, let's start off with the dollar sell-off. After the election, you'd even called the dollar selling off after the election, as we chatted about a week or two ago. But what's important to note about this sell-off, and more importantly, do you see us continuing lower?
The dollar did have like one of its toughest weeks of the year, and the selling came quickly before the polls even really closed. And what definitely really strikes me about this, the market really set up for this. Think about like the Canadian dollar. On Monday, the Canadian dollar put in an outside down day. That is to say, it rose above last Friday's high, reversed lower, and closed below Friday's lows. This is a bearish sign. And this is a return at almost at 134, and we're finishing a week near 130. So I think this was partly a broad-based U.S. dollar sell-off. And I think that it's that old story that I've been trying to, keep people focused on, this training of this. What's going on is that the U.S. is, and for, this is not just now, but projecting ahead, the U.S. is going to have a large budget deficit and a large current account deficit. In such an environment, it needs higher interest rates to draw savers. But because we can't give those higher interest rates, given the conditions, low inflation, weak recovery, that the dollar has to sort of act as a shock absorber. And the dollar fell against all the major currencies this past week. like you say, it's not exactly the close yet, but out of the currencies, the Japanese yen, which fell to 104 for the first time since March, was really the weakest of the major currencies. It only gained 1.3% against the dollar. What impressed me the most was the Australian dollar. It gained about 3.5% this week, and that's despite a rate cut and extended QE by the central bank. Sterling had a decent week too, up 1.6%, and there the Bank of England also eased policy. That's why I think that the fact that these currencies rallied despite the central bank's easing really tells me this is a weak dollar story rather than a strong foreign currency story.
Isn't that crazy, though, to consider that central banks are coming out and easing their policy even more, as we did hear from the Fed this week, and they essentially just copied their prior statement, but that their currencies moved up as central banks got easier. It really is just the market looking ahead and seeing the issues that the U.S. is going to have and probably the fiscal bill, the spending packages that they're also going to be issuing here, too.
See, I think that generally last week what we really saw has been like the reflation story. Lower yields, rising stocks, a recovery in oil prices, a weaker dollar. I think that it all makes sense if you think that there's not going to be much of a change in the status quo and the sequence by which the central banks are easing doesn't really matter that much. For sure, the RBA, the Bank of England, cut ease policy this week. The ECB is probably the next of the major central banks to ease. They've practically committed themselves to it in December. But, you know, and this is one of the things that Powell said repeatedly in his press conference. The Federal Reserve is buying $80 billion of treasuries a month and $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities. Doesn't seem like any central bank is really topping that right now.
So the Fed, then, is still one of the easiest out there. How much of this election and the kind of split result that it looks like we're going to get is playing into the markets being stronger and the dollar also being weaker?
Yeah, and no, I think there's two elements to the election. One is just get it past us. And as soon as, that's why I mentioned about what happened on Monday in the Canadian dollar. As soon as this has been like the election itself has been hanging over the market. As soon as it was passed, there's like pent up activity. But the election itself, the results, what does it look like? So ironically, as we wind down the week, we don't know the results yet fully, but it looks like Biden's going to become president, and it looks like the Senate's going to be very close. That might not be decided till January, and the House of Representatives, the Democrats might have lost a couple of seats. What this essentially means, I think, points to is that there's no blue wave, and I think the blue wave, rightly or wrongly, has been painted to be more dramatic changes, less business-friendly, higher corporate taxes, rapid movement towards the Green New Deal in some fashion. I'm not sure that characterization is right, but I think it's generally that's the way people perceived it. And so that the fact that it's not a blue wave means that we can have the same types of pro-business policies without the tax hikes, basically. And so I think that that means also interest rates stay low. And so even with the U.S., we're talking about 75 basis points on a 10-year bond. Why not buy stocks, especially after they had that big pullback? 10-15% might be the buying opportunity people were looking for in those fangs.
Yeah, possibly. Either way, though, do you think that we're going to be seeing any government spending bill this year? Is it going to have to wait until next year when Trump is fully out of office and when Biden takes power?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think that the Senate will take up a what they call it the skinny bill, which might be $500 billion. Isn't that funny? What Americans call skinny, $500 billion. But it turns out that, you know, we did get a good jobs report just before the weekend. It was better than people expected. Unemployment rate dropped from 7.9% to 6.9%. I mean, put that in perspective in Canada, from 9% to 8.9%. Because Canada still had a strong jobs report, but the U.S., just the sudden and sharp decline, I think, and the unemployment rate, I think, speaks to less pressure on the Republicans to deliver a big package. Whether this can get over the same problem we had before the election or not, it's a different story. And like I say, in the Senate, 100 seats in our Senate. 96 seats are more or less decided. Two seats are still, we're sort of waiting for the results, too close to call. And two seats might have to have, and these are both in Georgia, might have to have a runoff in early January. So my best guess is that we don't get a fiscal package yet. And but we do get it next year in the first quarter, and it's for about $1 trillion.
Okay, so much, much lower than what the Democrats wanted, but any spending package, I think, would be looked favorably on by the market, right? Anything that gets through, some of that money naturally ends up in financial markets.
Yeah, I think that what people will be looking at is there any assistance for state and local governments? Is there an extended unemployment package, unemployment compensation package? And what about more of those, well, we had these PPP loans for like an employment protection scheme to help businesses. And these are these grant loans that then would be forgiven. And so I think we do get this fiscal stimulus, and that's what it's going to be aimed at, I think, is more of small businesses and households.
Okay. So what matters for the markets then outside of just this spending bill whenever it gets passed? In all fairness, you can also say that the market is anticipating this, so maybe it won't have a big impact in terms of market moves when it is announced. Right now, news headlines still dominated by the election. Let's put that behind us. Is it COVID cases? Is it economic data? Is it other central bank moves? What actually matters?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I feel like kind of silly saying this, but I'm not sure that any of that matters in the short run. We do get the U.S. inflation measures next week, CPI, PPI. China reports their inflation measures as well. I think that now it's a question of, it's not going to be economic data, because remember, we've already got Q3 GDP numbers more or less behind us. All the central banks, all the major central banks met. Next week, we've got New Zealand meeting and the Reserve Bank of Mexico. But I don't see these as a driving impulse. I think it's a question of momentum. And I think that some of the momentum indicators are a bit stretched as we finished a week with the dollar, different dollar pairs are sort of flirting with their Bollinger Bands. So I think that one is just current positions and momentum. And secondly, I do think this, you know, as the week winds down, we're hearing reports from Denmark that some COVID mutation first exposed by the in minks might make a vaccine more difficult. But that's what I'd be focusing on, is just sort of the trading basics, really. You just had a big move in the markets. It looks like it can continue, but it's a bit stretched in the short run.
All right. Well, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. That does it for the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the second hour, I am focusing more on the precious metals and especially the stocks. So everyone stick around for that second hour. And again, let me know what you think of the new format of the weekend show. Mark, thanks so much for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation, to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowwhey.com. Greenmeadowwhey.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.